Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, Miles, Here we are on the final day of November. And we are joined by one of the greats, a writer, one of the best podcast hosts and executive producers doing it. You know him from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. You know him from Ridiculous History. Please welcome the brilliant, the talented Ben Bolin!
Holy smokes. I got my own AKA baked in courtesy of Mr. Miles Gray. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Ben
back.
Bolin.
Yeah. You see that?
Yeah. Nothing but net
hit. Yeah.
AKA Wandering Wizard of Wisdom. That's Brandon Falls. AKA bending over backwards with benevolence, Sir Ben Bolin. I took a cue from you guys and I went on Twitter, Twitter.
It's Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter? Twitter is Twitter. In this house, we believe it is called Twitter. Okay.
This is by far, I think, the most conservative take the three of us are going to have for a while.
Yes.
It's Twitter. We honor the past in this house.
Yeah, exactly.
By saying it's still Twitter. As long as I can type Twitter into the little window and it go to Twitter, that's what it's called to me.
Yeah.
We might.
Could you imagine, when's that day coming when they completely nuke that URL? They won't, right?
Never.
They can't. Because then someone else can just swoop it up, right?
That is.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk has never done anything that's bad for business, so I don't think it's going to happen.
Not once, not never.
Miles, did you notice something about Ben's AKA when he asked his listeners for AKAs? They were very deferent and were like, yes. We honor you, sir. You are a wizard. You are wise. You and our benevolent. Dang listeners are out here, writing AKA after AKA about that one time that I pissed my pants.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I didn't even piss my pants. It was just my pants just were wet somehow after I went on Scary Ride.
Yeah.
You're pretty sure? You're like, are you clear?
I think someone pranked
you. It was really, I think I got pranked by my young nephew. You know, he was right next to me. I come off, my pants are wet. I didn't feel myself pee my pants. And I used to do that shit all the time when I was drinking. So, I have some.
With the awareness of memory. Liam Neeson, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yes. I just learned about that. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so many pictures of Liam Neeson having pissed himself.
Yeah, yeah.
To a degree that it just seemed like at a certain point, he was just like, yeah, I'm famous enough that I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
He has such confidence.
He has such
confidence in the pictures. He's like,
and there I was. Pictures of people with giant piss stains. Yeah.
That are just completely like eyes half open, like bleary eyed. You wouldn't even know that he even knew the concept of urinating in a toilet. So who knows?
Taking a piss. in his pants. It's more like,
Yeah, I'm taking the piss.
I'm taking a piss in my pants.
So stupid.
I like that that hypothetical conversation because somebody has just said, "Hey, it's Taken," which I like the idea that you're calling him Taken.
Oh, that's where you went with it.
Hey, Taken.
Yeah,
I'm taking. I'm taking a piss in my pants, my trousers.
I thought you meant the idiom in British English of taking the piss. Like if you're fucking around,
there are
like,
levels.
Are you taking
to
the
it.
Piss? Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. Now we got taking the piss, taking up. Wow. Anyway, this is what they come here for.
That's what they're here for.
You're a certain set of skills. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. A very particular set of skills.
Particularly useless.
Yes. What is something from your search history?
We talked about this yesterday, and I showed Carmen my search history, and she was a little appalled. So I think we should go with the easy one.
Okay. Well,
we'll build to yours.
Here's the thing. I saw some of the stuff in Janie's search history, and it got me to start searching some of the stuff in Janie's search history because I was curious.
What the fuck is she talking about?
So something that Janie searched that I also searched because
I've never seen gay porn before. I was like,
wait, what? They do what to one another on camera? Yeah.
I typed in.
Janie, pull this up.
Guy can't stop ejaculating. Now, I...
That's even a thing you can search?
Yes, I thought I was going to get like a link to like a Pornhub video or like something hot. But I actually got a link to like news program shorts about this guy who literally has like 100 orgasms a day. And it's actually kind of heartbreaking and really sad.
Oh, no,
oh, man.
Yeah, you got something way darker.
Yeah, I got something way darker.
Do we get to meet him in the news clip? Like,
yes.
Oh, wow. What is his comportment like?
You get to meet her because she transitions.
Oh, wait, what? Janie, what?
Yes. Yeah. So she transitioned and it actually like
we gotta cover
has
this.
Helped her. I don't know. I think part of it is like she was like, yeah, my sisters would put me in dresses and I was like, I kind of like it. And I believe that for on face value. But more so, I think that taking estrogen reduced like it stopped her compulsive orgasms from happening or it like made it a lot better.
Period. Wow.
So,
Christine, I didn't even see they Christine updated Decker. The they updated.
Yeah, and she's serving. She looks good.
She's serving.
Oh, God. Oh, well, I remember this of the person keeled over.
The video is really funny though.
Oh, the video.
Dale Decker
this poor
suffers
person.
From a rare and seemingly incurable condition that leads to him suffering up to 100 unwanted orgasms a day.
I mean, they seem powerful.
Yeah, very powerful orgasm. Yeah.
Like you can't. That's not like some
doubled
shit that
over
could,
on the ground.
Yeah,
whilst
you can't like
playing frisbee.
Wow. he was just trying to play frisbee at the time.
This is a very funny part where it's. I mean, it's so fucked up. But like, he's saying that like, you might think it's not that bad just having orgasms all the time, but when you're at your dad's funeral, looking over his casket, and you're just. Busting your pants.
Just straight busting.
Did not use the phrase bust. That's my part. Yeah.
Okay, that's your editorialism.
Yeah. Standing over my dad's casket, blowing my beans in my pants. Just
throwing ropes on my dead dad. Just silly stringing the guy.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, like it's causing more trauma than even needed. It's like I didn't need to have that in my visual view as I'm having an orgasm. But hey,
yeah,
well, good to know that she's on the right path now and having less debilitating orgasms.
Yeah, absolute Hall of Fame search history, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks. Shout out to the show Seeking Derangements for putting me onto the guy who can't stop ejaculating video.
Yeah.
Wow.
My first thought was someone get her some SSRIs because the second she gets on some Lexapro or some Prozac, orgasms be gone.
Dull it down. But.
I believe that was the original name of the product, Prozac, when it was first introduced, was orgasm be gone.
Killer, yeah.
Goo gone. They're like, oh, that's taken.
Coming too much? Just Janie, is there something from your search history? I mean, that obviously that was from your search history.
I mean, that was the top one from my search history.
That's great. Let's leave. It's unbeatable.
Honestly, we have to put that on a shrine. That's on a pedestal for now.
That's on a pedestal. What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Oh, okay.
With the headband and shit?
I'm not trying to...
He does, man. Wow.
I guess maybe it's perfectly rated. Okay, but I think champagne is overrated. Maybe I've said this before on the show, but it is too sweet, always. Gets you too drunk, always. And it's too expensive, I guess. And it's stupidly seen as like a status symbol. I think champagne is gross.
Yeah.
I prefer an Abruzzo. Was it Abruzzo? What's the sparkling red? This is another Italian moment.
I always wondered if there was a sparkling red.
There is.
And you can have it chilled too. And I used to get,
Abruzzo is the region of Italy. Lambrusco. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Lambrusco is, Lambrusco greater than champagne.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just not that into champagne.
No, it is interesting too how it is like the default drink for being like, here we are, get the champagne. Like we still have the momentum of like cracking open barrels of champagne from like centuries ago. That is
like, have you ever gotten drunk on champagne? It's the most like,
yeah, it was puking the whole time.
It's like it gives you acid reflux immediately. Yes. Yeah.
And if it's not like, that's why the whole bottomless mimosa thing.
Oh,
hell no. And I've had like, one of my Valentine's Day with my ex went to like a bottomless champagne Valentine's. I was like, oh, this will be cute. Found it on Eventbrite. Never do that.
Uh-oh,
I ended the night having puked in a doorway of a bank and then crying in the shower about how I ruined Valentine's Day. It was so perfect and so champagne. And champagne you're just the steep climb to being drunk and then it'll drop you super quick.
No one has a good champagne drunk story. Like, no one's ever I love champagne because every time I drink blood, everyone's like, man, I fucked up again. I went to fucking bottomless mimosa brunch, the hip hop, the trap brunch again. We drank 9 bottles of Wyclef, the fucking cheap ass sparkling wine, and I'm fucking sick in fucking Koreatown again.
Like, I imagine champagne is good if it's, and I guess maybe, what is it, Dom Perignon or something? Or like Mum, or what's the other? Like, I guess if it's top.
Mumford and Sons.
Yes, Mumford and Sons. If it's top tier, and that's why I guess if you spend, you know, thousands of dollars on a really incredible bottle, or I don't know what, whatever champagne, then I think maybe it's good, but 99% of the time it's bad.
Combined with berry, for some reason, strawberries with champagne, like those two complement each other better. And like, it didn't make sense to me that they would complement each other as well as they do, but they
Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get most of my culinary ideas from Bruno Mars songs.
That's what you...
That is what I like.
That's what you like, bro.
That song's about me. Have you tried it though? Like, it makes champagne taste way better for some reason. What is something that you guys think is underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated. That's rare. What is underrated? I mean, I just started watching Will and Grace again from like season one, but I don't feel like it's underrated.
I don't think it's underrated.
It's a pretty popular, successful
show. Pretty highly rated
show. It was like,
You can start with overrated if we want to work up to the underrated.
Okay, I have one for this kind of a, I guess this is underrated and kind of a mix. I do think my underrated, even though it's a really popular fast food chain of Popeyes, but I do think what's overrated is really like different expensive types of fried chicken where I'm just like, I don't know how much better you can get for, you know, this $34 at a fancy restaurant. Is it going to be better than Popeyes?
Yeah.
They've kind of nailed it, haven't they?
And the whole point of fried chicken is that it's like supposed to be the cheap. It's cheap. It's like, why make it nicer than it is? I do think, okay, I like the Popeyes, and it's so buttery, and there's a flakiness to the skin that's really exciting. When I start getting into the bone territory on a Popeyes, I feel like I start to see the quality deteriorate, and those bones do make me a little uncomfortable. And I think they can be brittle. They can be colors that don't feel super health forward. And when I'm looking at a more
to
expensive,
quote the Maren Morris song, if the bones are good.
Right.
So you're saying if the bones are not
I'm
good.
Saying that the bones aren't so good. And it's kind of like, wow. It's one of those things where, you know how you can feed like raw chicken to a dog and it can eat it bones and all? Like, I don't know if the raw chicken they're using at Popeyes is totally like doggable. I worry about those bones breaking and hurting my dog's trachea. Not that I would ever own a dog. That's what's overrated, in my opinion, is dogs.
You got there.
Dog ownership.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. That was the journey.
Yeah.
So do you want a sturdy bone in your fried chicken? Or are you saying
when I get to the bone, I want like a gorgeous piece of porcelain under there. Like
you want a gorgeous gleaming.
Yeah.
Like, kind of. Yes. Bone colored bone.
I want a bone colored bone. Some sort of alabaster sculpture that I could mount on the wall.
Right.
You want like a cartoon bone, like the monk, and it's like a perfect skeleton.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be like such a massive femur, but
it sounds very Looney Tunes. Pull it out of his mouth with two hands. How clean are your bones when you're done with fried chicken, by the way?
I would say with wings, I'm cleaning them hard.
I take great, great pride in the cleanliness of my bones, that it's just bone, no grizzle.
Hell yeah.
After a lifetime growing up as a white American, where I was leaving so much grizzle on the bone, and then my wife was like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
This is allyship right here. This is amazing.
She was like, "This is, and I can't let you continue on like this." And now we have clean bones, and I take great pride.
That's what marriage does.
Yeah,
that's right. Makes you a better person.
That also feels like a dating, like, you know, 20 signs, like, you know, a guy is going to be good in bed. They're like, go up for wings. Like, if he eats the whole wing, like, you know, like, he knows how to go down. Yes, ladies.
Yes, ladies. He knows how to please a woman.
My friend married a white guy, and she was sending us pictures of his plates from their honeymoon, complaining about how he didn't clean various meats off of various bones.
Wow.
And it could not have been a worse sign. I've never seen
from the
more
honeymoon.
Oh, they're not making it.
Huh. Yeah, literally from Hawaii. It was amazing.
Sounds like he wasn't eating the chicken or her. Are they still?
I assume
they're divorced.
They're together for now, but
okay. Keep us updated.
Yeah,
we're keeping our eye on them. Yeah.
I'm just going to post a picture from the honeymoon when it all goes bad and just say, we all knew this was going to go down.
Right.
We could tell from the jump.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
They use it like in divorce court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's getting everything. Are you kidding?
I would say I'm probably definitely more in the white stereotype of not getting all to the gristle. You know, I feel like I get the good parts, but then I also might, like, you know, hand the rest of it to a friend, you know, to a hungry friend.
That's right.
Or a boyfriend.
I'm not above
it. I guess
it.
Being the hungry friend. You're so
when I'm around, I'll clean. I went to one of those Japanese joints where they give you the whole shrimp, and the shrimp heads were like grilled hard enough, and they brought a bowl for the shrimp heads, and I was like, no, we don't need that shit. We're eating the heads. We're all Asian people here. And all of my friends sold me out. They're like, actually, I don't really. So I had to eat like 9 shrimp heads. I thought I was going to have like anaphylactic shock. It was not good.
Yeah. You were like, yeah, literally, like, we are not pussies. Like, we can do this. And they're like, no, I would take the bowl. And you're like, okay.
That's crazy. I love shrimp heads. I love eating head on shrimp. Even when you're like not supposed to, I'll eat the whole damn head.
Yes.
With all the little antenna and the eyes and everything.
They're
makes
so
you
good.
Smarter.
Yes. As you, smart as a shrimp. That's what we say around these parts. Just trying to be as smart as any given shrimp.
You need their brain food.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And let's get into some news. And by news, I, of course, mean just look at the dumb shit that people are talking about on TikTok right now.
You know, it's a good indicator. I mean, last time we had a talk because people were like, they're all worshiping Bin Laden. You're like, they're not. But thank you for trying to make that a thing.
That's what I thought you were going to bring up when you said TikTok.
Oh, no, no. We're talking specifically. There's just like a few articles that I was reading and I was like, wow, like the new thing right now is just terrible, terrible dating advice or like how like relationship advice. But that's like the fun thing about TikTok is you get to watch younger people discover things from the past. Like it's a fucking gold mine. Like I remember videos like, have you heard of Rage Against the Machine? You're like,
yeah,
no, go on, go on. What? Or like, you know, sometimes they find out about an artist like or a forgotten activist and things like that. But other times it's like apparently they stumbled on Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, a book that came out in 1992. And yeah. They're taking shit out of that book and be like, yo, this is like the source code of the Matrix. And it's like, it's true. It's to the point that the book is back on the bestseller charts. This is the one that is filled with, you know, just regressive gender essentialist garbage. But hey, this is what the kids are feeling right now. And if you look on TikTok, there are thousands of videos under the hashtags, hashtag dating advice or hashtag dating expert. But it may shock you to hear that some of these experts are in fact not fucking experts at all. They're just usually people that know how to farm clicks. Or a thing that I've been seeing a lot of, and we'll probably talk about this in an upcoming episode, is like there's like this aesthetic now that it's just pretending to be on a podcast, you know, like where you see people in a room with
a
like
lot mic- of that.
Yeah, and half the time I'm like, yo, where are these shits charting? Like I'm in podcasting, like I don't know, this thing has a million views as a video, but then you look, it's like there is no podcast. It's just like the visuals, it's like the aesthetic now is being like, wow, these are people talking on microphone. And I guess that lends an air of authority to it. But yeah, a lot of the advice.
It shouldn't, by the way. We should just say.
Yeah,
podcasts, I'm just in my closet.
You could just upload that shit and make it a podcast. Like I could upload a voicemail and it would be a podcast. So,
right. Yeah, exactly. But a lot of the advice is like really bad. Like there's one coach saying like, you know, women like that, you need to lose weight before going out into the dating world, or using like this terminology, like high value male or high value female or divine feminine, to sort of just like, you know, cloak the gender normativity and like stereotypes that like serve as this quote unquote advice in it. And, you know, also shockingly, this is advice is very anti-sex work, like with quotes that are like, men don't wife pole dancers. Or another one was so wild. It's like, no one is going to the funeral of an OnlyFans girl. Nobody cares. Like, you're like,
actually, all my subscribers will be there.
Yeah, exactly. They will be my pallbearers. Exactly. They will bring my body into the church and into the ground. And or the other thing is like, you know, men are only there for financial gain and just doing this. Like, so you don't need to worry about anything except for like the financial aspect of your relationship. And some actual experts in dating and sociology are pointing to the fact that like online dating has made things pretty bleak for younger people, especially if they're all of their dating experiences begin and end with like using apps. And it basically turns your relationship into a game where you're just swiping to find like the more better resourced like Pokemon card, basically, like as you go through. And as a result, it leaves people feeling like they're expendable because their attitude is like that towards dating. Some are also saying it could be a reaction to like just, you know, the general malaise of capitalism, that like many people are burnt out by like stagnant wages or like living with parents or things like that. So there's a certain appeal to this idea of like a rich partner who could just come in and completely change everything.
Solve that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, fuck a
that
relationship.
That makes a ton of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like, nah, man, fuck a relationship. Like, I need to fucking, I'm so ground down from toiling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only going to look for people who are going to provide X, Y, and Z. And that's like what my calculus is. So, yeah.
Just
like,
get me off this treadmill. However I can do it. Yeah. It's all so bleak.
I feel like what you're describing, I'm not familiar with this book, but this sounds like it's very like part and parcel with like the rise of like Andrew Tate and like 100%. Like Jordan Peterson and stuff like that. And I feel like there's always like a search in like more like right wing, like reactionary viewpoints to like have some kind of like intellectual legitimacy to like why you're misogynist, why you're racist, why you're homophobic.
Right.
There's always like a search to find like, oh, see, this fucking quack doctor said women are more prone to like gathering and men are more prone to hunting and, you know, whatever. And I feel like this book could just be another extension of that, because I mean, Andrew Tate isn't really like, he's influential, but he's not like a scholar. And I feel like this could be like just a way to kind of like graft on that viewpoint to like an intellectual, like, oh, see, these are my sources, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's in the exact same way.
I also think the same thing with like Jordan Peterson, but Jordan Peterson is like a whiny Canadian man with like a nails on chalkboard voice that can't stop crying. So I feel like he's not as revered as he
once
was.
What are you talking about? That's a terrible Jordan Peterson.
Well, because like they're all kind of boiled down to being like if you're sort of distilling it to a very like harmless view, it's like they're saying like, we're just telling people to not settle. Like that's what it all boils down to. But then you really dig into it and it's like, well, no, we're actually learning how to categorize people, look at them completely differently, and then operate from that place. And to your point, like there are just as many like these sort of like anti-feminist dating type guru people that exist like outside of Andrew Tate. Like you think of like Pearl Davis and like, those
fresh and fit. Yeah, like exactly. The list goes on. Yeah.
A lot of these videos are sort of entertaining purely for the fact, and I'm sure a lot of people are just watching it for like outrage clicks. Like it's not, you know, half of it is people going like, oh, I wonder if that's true. And other people are like, this is so fucking backwards. Like, what are y'all talking about? That's why I say a lot of the people are just really good at farming clicks. But like, they're just, some of them are just like funny because it'll be like, tips on like manipulation. Like it's like how to not appear jealous. Like if you're calling somebody and then like if you're calling a guy like in a very like cishet relationship and you don't want to come off as insecure and they call back and say, oh, how come I missed your call or why did you call? You can say, oh, I was actually, rather than saying you were checking in, say that you had a flat tire and you needed their help, but another man actually helped you do that and you no longer need their help. Or like just weird shit awesome. That's sort of like how to make people more dependent on you. It's super fucking wild.
Right. Don't treat them like a human.
Right.
Yeah. Every time I call my boyfriend, I make up something horrible that just happened to me. And I say, well, actually, another guy came and fixed it for me. Sorry right. about it.
Oh, my God. That is genius.
Right.
And we've been going strong for 8 years. So, yeah. You know, you should try it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, here's a question I may have. Does your boyfriend pass the orange peel theory test? Do you know about this?
Okay. Of course. Tell me about the orange peel theory.
Okay. So
oh, my God. You don't know the orange peel theory?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. How do you know you're in a good relationship, Carmen, unless you know about the orange peel theory? So this is another thing that's blowing up. Like, it has a ton of views under this hashtag about, again, young people being like, oh, this actually makes sense. I'm just going to play the orange peel theory for you right now so you can get an idea of how it's being discussed on TikTok.
Everybody's talking about the orange peel theory. If you don't know what that is, the orange peel theory basically describes that when your partner does an act of service for you, that's something that you are perfectly capable of doing on your own. And this is for really small stuff, like, for example, peeling an orange. Let's say that for whatever reason, I hate peeling my oranges, but I really like oranges. I ask my partner, hey babe, would you mind peeling this orange for me? And they can either respond with, of course, love, like not a problem at all. Or they can say, no, you are perfectly capable of peeling that orange yourself. Or maybe my partner already knows that I really don't fuck with citrus and has the orange already peeled and prepared for me. Either for way, real. Their response is indicative of much bigger things than just really don't merely fuck with peeling citrus. An orange. Because even just a super tiny thing like that wait, reveals so much citrus, about their attitude toward you like, and your scurvy. Relationship. So much about relationships is the small thing.
So yeah, that's what they're going on about is, yeah, the orange, it says everything about you. If you don't
that
do
sucks.
Which is like so one dimensional. And yeah. Like I'm like, oh y'all are in for a wild ride because
I want my partner to be like a terrified personal assistant who is always trying to anticipate what I want 3 hours ahead and just have peeled fruits of various kinds laying in front of me. That's right. The only way. For me, or that, you know, I'm good to have a relationship.
Or that, yeah. Or that, like, acts of service is the only real metric for understanding how a partner values you. Like, yeah. if you dumb relationships down to that level, people will have no way to actually understand what matters in a relationship. Like, can you, like, they'll be like, yeah, oh, yeah, they cheat on me all the time. But I have never had to peel an orange the entire time. So, who's laughing now? Here. It's just like a very...
I think we need to go back to the grapefruit theory, which is you take a grapefruit and you...
do
and you
like
use the
grapefruit. Honored video.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you really love him? Do you know how to work this grapefruit?
If that's not, the true measure of love is the grapefruit theory.
But like, I get to like, I think it's like one of those things too, where these younger people like learning about like love languages and like the one that like resonates with them. It's like, yo, yeah, the acts of service with, and then just completely just like hooking on to that without really beginning to understand what matters to you or being able to articulate that. Like, sure, I get that if you're being very narrow and being like, they won't do this, they might not care about other things, but that is such a very myopic way of looking at what
I want my partner to be realistic with me about, like no, bitch, you can do that yourself. Like, what?
Right.
Like, because there are times when I am being annoying.
I'm very turned off by like forced helplessness shit like that. Like,
yeah,
I've hung out with couples where like one of them, usually the woman, just kidding, but well, one of them in the relationship will be like, just, I don't know, anything inane, like, hey, can you grab me this? And it's like the thing that they want you to grab is like closer to them. And it's like,
yes,
why do you need your partner to do, like, I don't know, like, maybe I'm just more independently minded, but I just, that is so grating to me. Like, I hate it.
There have been moments where, like, I've had that in relationships, too. And, like, I'm like, you are capable. Like, sometimes I will sound like the orange peel person. Like, you can peel the orange, the orange that you're holding that you decided to eat?
Yeah.
I'm like,
I just don't really fuck with citrus, Miles. I just don't really fuck with citrus.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, well, then you shouldn't eat that shit.
No, you
now
do
if he
it.
Doesn't open
you
the
do
door
it.
For me, it's fucking over. Okay, yes. Like that, like
yeah, that's a monster material. That's goop behavior.
I do just want to say, because we kind of talked about Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus being like the intellectualization or like the sources for like this bullshit, and the front of the book has like the author listed as John Gray, PhD. That PhD is an unaccredited PhD from Columbia Pacific University, a now defunct correspondence institution, and then an honorary doctorate for delivering a commencement speech. So, and like his main thing is he studied under like one of the yoga, like the original founders of yoga in the 60s and learned how to like kind of get into the spiritual guru bullshit that way.
Because so, I've only seen documentaries rich. Of, yeah, right. And yeah, I've only seen exactly. documentaries about how above board some of those yoga gurus have been.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
So
it's always some motherfucker that's like a chiropractor that's like, no, listen, I've got it all figured out.
Right.
It's simple. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. That's it. Any questions?
It.
Okay.
Please stop asking me questions. Good. What do we think is like, I would love to be able to get ahead of this and just start feeding some of the like bullshit. Like, what is the antiquated shit from our childhood, Miles, from the 90s that we think is going to hit next on TikTok? Like,
because Carmen and Janie, I know y'all are Gen Z. That's why we said
right.
Us.
Y'all are Gen Z. So I'm just curious.
You said
I'm
Carmen
earlier,
Gen Z,
this.
So I want to respect right. that. Yeah. But yourself like, in the millennial mindset.
No
for
fear.
A moment.
Like, do we think like no fear philosophy? Like second place is the first loser. Like that.
That's
like
isn't that kind of already? Like
I have an idea. I think it would be something like. I think, all right, so I've thought about this a little bit because there's always very significant like pendulum swings in between generations. I think that like the millennials were very like sex positive and very like Tumblr-y and like, I don't know, there was like all the like pussy hat feminism
expansive.
And stuff like that. Yeah, and now you see Gen Z is very, like, sex negative and sex repulsed, and there's, like, we don't
kind of
want to see sex
yeah.
scenes. And yeah, yes, there's a new puritanism, and I feel like that's a reaction to the previous generation's libertinism. Mm. So to answer your question, I think it would be something like, bullying is good, actually, because right. that's just, like, because something like, yeah, adversity builds character, and we've all been told that bullying's bad and that you shouldn't bully people, but maybe we should bring back Smear the Queer, which I'm personally right. fine with, considering I'm the queer.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They'll launder it in, like, sort fan. Of, like, phrases to be like, we actually need, like, shame is actually a very powerful tool that we're missing in our society. And that's how, like... Because that's how all this shit, it just comes reworded. And you're like, y'all are just talking about bullying. And like, right. or y'all are just talking about like very lopsided relationships or whatever. But it's like, no, I'm talking about the high value males on the earth or whatever. That feels like very much like, because I think we're seeing that legislated, like with all the transphobic and homophobic bills that are being passed around the country. It's like, it's an attempt to create like a legal framework of shaming, like a certain group of people. So I think there's that, like that I feel is like a thing that I feel like a lot of older people are like, these people just have no shame. And like, we need people need to have a sense of shame for them to be able to act right or blah, 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 this, that, and the other. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, Jack, no fear T-shirts could be good. But I like Janie's point, too. The puritanical stuff might be coming back.
Just straight up puritanism.
Yeah, just wearing homespun clothing.
Look at this wild sermon from Cotton Mather, you guys. This shit is fucking blowing my mind.
Right. We're also seeing like Gen Z like return to religion in a really big way. Like with like trad, and I'm not saying that like that's necessarily inherently a bad thing, but with trad Catholicism like kind of coming back into fashion and stuff like that, it's been interesting to observe.
That shit is very interesting to me because it's so like.
Speaking of shame,
I don't know. I mean, it's like the people that like promote this shit. It's like. You're not trad. You are on TikTok. Like, go have kids. Stop talking to me. Go practice the rhythm method. Like, it doesn't make sense that, like, if you're going to be like, who's that bitch, like, Pearl Davis that is always, like, her whole thing is, like, women shouldn't vote. And it's like, all right, bitch, then shut up. Like, if your whole thing is women shouldn't have opinions, then shut up, bitch. Why am I listening to you? Like,
totally. I am finding out about Pearl Davis in real time as we're talking about this. Oh, boy.
Oh, she's awful. Terrible. She's fucking terrible.
Although I think she went on Piers Morgan's show and he absolutely like set her up like to kind of be like, yeah, I agree with you. And then absolutely just like tore her down. And she was like, what's happening?
What?
I thought this was a friendly space for regressive ideas.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
There's a very good like clip from that too, where there's like a woman she's talking to that's like, you know, like point counterpoint kind of thing. And the other guest on there like brings up basically like what I did or what I just said, like, so, you know, why have you like, she's had an abortion before, like, you know, like you are already failing. I mean, this is common with a lot of conservative shit where they fail to meet the standards that they set for everyone else, like Ben Shapiro talking about masculinity. You're 5'2". Yeah. Your voice sounds like you haven't hit puberty. Like, what the fuck are you saying? Like,
yeah. But I bought this piece of wood at Home Depot, and it's in this bag. Look,
this
magnificent piece wood.
Of poplar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just working in the wood shop.
Sport, this magnificent piece
holds
of poplar.
Up a piece of wood that's untouched.
Yeah.
I love that video. We talked about this in me and Carmen's Barbie episode too. But there's in his like hour long destroys Barbie fucking video, he brings up how Hari Neff's the trans woman that's in Barbie is like, her voice is deeper than mine. It's like, that's not hard, dog. Like, I don't know why you would post your L's like that. What happened to shame?
Right.
What happened to shame?
What happened to shame?
Can I just thought of one more thing that could come back for Gen Z, and I hope this is the one, but I've been seeing a big resurgence. Tucker Carlson was very big on this, but like tobacco and like smoking and like nicotine being like good for you.
I have seen young people smoking cigarettes more. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Actual like smoking old fashioned cigarettes with like
old fashioned cigarettes. I love the emphasis
no
on
electricity.
That.
No, you don't need to charge those shits or anything. It's crazy.
Yeah, right.
They're like, dude, that vape's going to kill you.
Right. They're like, dude, you know the rare earth metals they got to mine for that battery for that vape, dude? All right, I'm going to smoke this Marlboro Red.
I do wonder what sort of below the surface, like, jujitsu has been happening to, like, with, like, the major tobacco companies, like, we were talking about how the Surgeon General just came out and was like, actually, loneliness is worse for you than smoking cigarettes. And I'm was he paid by, like, first of all, it's true. Second of all, was he paid by the tobacco industry to say that shit? Because, like, that's...
Might as well just start smoking.
Yeah.
Right. But with your
friends. That was what, you know, as somebody who recently quit nicotine, like, that was what occurred to me. I was like, damn, so maybe I can just like smoke then because.
Right.
I'm not lonely.
It's not that bad. Yeah. I'm not lonely.
You're like, I FaceTime with my boy every time I have a cigarette. It's all good.
I've heard that if you are able to quit by the age of like 35, then it will like basically like negate most of the like super negative effects by the time you get older. So
that's something my uncle would have said.
You can keep chiefing those darts up until your 35th birthday.
Chief and darts.
Stop.
Right, JD, you got to be the new TikTok nicotine guru. Like, Nick Talk. I'm on Nick Talk right now.
Actually,
that could be a lane for
35 and you're fine.
Here's the deal. How old are y'all? You're good, dude. You got like 10 years to quit. Man.
Chief darts.
Do y'all know about the Tucker Carlson clip I'm talking about where he's talking about how like Weed makes you stupid and submissive, unlike nicotine, which opens your mind. It's like, that's so cool. That's just so cool that someone thinks that. First of all, it's true. Weed is evil and nicotine is rad. So, I mean,
the great mind expanding benefits is nicotine.
Was he talking about it like in relationship to menthol cigarettes? Is that
he's a huge vapor.
Tucker Carlson?
Yeah. He like, when you read a profile of him, they're like, anytime he's not on camera, he's vaping. Yeah.
And
him
Hannity.
Hannity also.
Yeah, yeah.
They love vaping. Yeah. Like, wow. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's like just out of like the camera eye line, basically. It's like, all right, we're breaking. Let me just fucking my fucking lightsaber. But let me play this clip because this seems like a Tucker Carlson nicotine take, but let's see if this is the one.
Why do they hate tobacco? And it's not because it causes cancer. They don't care about your health. They closed the gyms during COVID. Anyone who closed a gym during a pandemic that killed people who were fat clearly doesn't care about your health at all. What? They hate nicotine. They love THC. They're promoting weed to your children, but they're not letting you use tobacco or even non-tobacco nicotine delivery devices, which don't cause cancer. Why do they hate nicotine? Because nicotine frees your mind, and THC makes you compliant and passive. That's why.
Woo!
They hate it. It's a real threat to them.
Hell yeah, man. Because I knew all of Bob Marley's songs were like, just assimilate and do what the state says. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I love that. It's so forceful, Janie. Like, the idea is like, I'll tell you why they hate it, because it opens, like, to say it with that force.
Freeze your mind is so wild. That's amazing.
Wow.
All right. We got to take one more break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
Just one more thing about that last segment.
Yes.
Don't seriously, don't do the drinking game Tool Top. If you that guy will drive you insane.
He'll kill you.
Saying Tool Top. I mean that you would die. I mean Tool Top.
He will kill you.
Drugstore bottle.
Yeah.
I said Tool Top. I mean, unbelievable. My friend said I recommended the channel, or my friend was watching it separately or something, like, because I have friends that like are into the same kind of stuff. And she was like, have you seen this? And I was like, yeah, I watch it all the time. She's like, man, that guy, imagine. I think she might have said, like, imagine a drinking game where you said every time he says Tool Top, you'd just die.
Yeah.
So I'm not the only one. I mean, everyone who watches that channel is like, I kind of wish he would just, if it is a Tool Top, he would just put it to the side and not say it.
Yeah, well, I was gonna,
because we're assuming it is a tool top.
We know.
Yeah. Whoa, why don't you say when it's not a tool top? How about that? Right. Only when it's not a tool top. That's like, that's what I would say in the comments. Get in the comments, like the
again,
like an old guy
just trolling. Like, oh, come on, Ask Jem. Another. You said tool top fucking 43
but like,
times.
Yes.
In 2 minutes.
Please respond. Please respond. And they put like my phone number. You know, like an old guy, in the YouTube comments, like, please respond. I've read left 50 of these messages. Here's my phone number again. What's the matter with you?
Please, we need to discuss this urgently.
I also want to talk to you about my divorce. You seem like you might know something about divorce.
It's like Stan, but even sadder.
Do you like Crosby, Stills, and Nash? Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Please stop saying Tool Top so much, but also call me up.
What, Chris, something you think is overrated or
underrated? Okay, underrated real quick. Just a flat out recommendation, because I want to get to some stuff. I mean, I want to get you guys to get to some stuff. Underrated, this great documentary about a jazz trumpeter on the Criterion Channel right now, but I'm sure you can rent it from Amazon or whatever. But it's called I Called Him Morgan, and it's about jazz trumpeter Lee Morgan. And first of all, it's an absolutely beautifully made documentary. Beautiful, just to watch, like visually spectacular. And then the story is unbelievable. It's about a trumpet player who became a junkie, ended up on the street, was rehabilitated by this woman. And then this humongous twist, sort of not a twist because it's a real story, but like, you know, something unexpected happens.
Wow.
But it's just a beautiful documentary. And I watched it again last night, and I probably watched this probably the third time I've watched it. So that's on there.
Last time you recommended documentary, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed was one of my favorite things.
I'm glad. I Called Him Morgan is so beautiful. And it's based on this guy who met this woman who was taking a class from him at like a community college in, Mississippi or South Carolina or somewhere. And she was like in her 50s or something. And he just became friends with her and asked her what her history was. And she just told him the story, and he was like, what? You know, like, can I record you saying, can I interview you? And he had an audio cassette, and this whole documentary is based around this audio cassette of this interview he got with this woman. And if he hadn't taken the time to ask her where she came from, because I think it was like maybe it was a musical appreciation class or something at a community college. I'm probably getting that wrong, but it was something where he was like, oh, what makes you interested in jazz or something? Mm-hmm. And then she told him this story. And Lee Morgan's music's incredible too. And just also just getting into like how sad it is that, you know, the internet has shattered like culture to the point where there's no more like little ecosystems that exist. Like jazz was such a fucking awesome.
Yeah.
In the 50s and 60s, like 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, whatever. Just like a place, you know, where it's just an amazing place where.
Yeah, avant-garde musical exploration was like a lot of that was really happening. Like
yeah, and run by African Americans, like fucking, you know, like an unbelievable, like a subculture, like cultures, different cultures, like, you know, in the same country, or I mean, it doesn't matter, but you'll get it from the documentary. It's a beautiful documentary. So
also
then
shout out to the little like local community colleges and city colleges and
yeah,
stuff.
And that
take a little class there.
And the professor just said, hey, man, what, you're an older lady. What are you doing taking this class or whatever? And she's like, well, this happened. And he's like, oh, my God. And then he has this one dusty cassette, and they show him in his house, the professor guy with dreadlocks and stuff. And he has the dustiest boombox. It made me like, I was like, my God, this makes me feel better about how dusty my shit is. I mean, he had the dustiest tape and the dustiest boombox I ever saw.
And right, and like the only things that don't have dust on it are the play, pause, stop button, and volume. And it,
unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, the thing was like coated in dust. So overrated, I was just going to say federal politics as opposed to local. Federal politics at this point is just like a full-on distraction of people just yelling at each other. They're not even legislating. So everything should be local. Everybody should be invested in local politics and state politics. And that's just a tie-in to like talking about, I have this new thing on NPR in Nashville, which we can talk about later. Through the election, I kind of ended up on an NPR show, a local NPR show with my own like little feature called Nashville Confidential with Chris Crofton. And it's on a month on this daily show here in Nashville called This Is Nashville, but it's on NPR, you know, so I'm like, I'm like reaching a lot of people.
Yeah,
so I did a whole one about my election that comes out tomorrow, and it's 25 minutes long. So for 25 minutes, I'm going to be the only thing on Nashville NPR.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty amazing. I mean, it's a million person sort of reach.
You know? Oh, yeah. That's a big universe of listeners.
Radio is still real, man. It's still reaching people.
That, and I love hearing that, Chris, but so where's our cut?
Well, you know... We can talk about that off the air.
Some pale dude. That's so wait. So just
new
because
phone,
of
who
like,
dis?
From when you were like, obviously you were getting a lot of attention because you're so outspoken and of completely shattering authentic. The mold of like, no person pursuing office like that. Like just by virtue of that, they were like, hey, we would love to hear more from you. Is that kind of how it worked out?
Well, it was really through the book originally. But when I came back to Nashville, I was a featured author at the Southern Festival of Books, which is what I used as like my sort of goal date to be back in Nashville from L.A. because I was dragging my feet about just like fucking packing.
Right.
So yeah. I was like, I have to be back in Nashville by October 16th for this Southern Festival of Books, which you can only imagine what I had in my head, that I was going to ride in on an elephant and get given the keys to the city or something.
I
spoke in an upstairs conference room at the library to like 11 people, two of which were my mom and my brother.
All right.
So, you know, it's like
actually a pretty good turnout for
it. Yeah, it was like a book. You know, I was like, I forgot it. It's like books. So, you know what's going to come. So unless you're like Oprah or whatever, but after it was over, I met this woman who ran the show, This Is Nashville, which was this new, it's like the flagship. They're trying to basically make a show in Nashville that would maybe even be picked up nationally. It's called This Is Nashville. It's a live 5 day a week at noon talk show, call in show, having guests live. It's live. That's the main thing. It's like a live daily show. They fired the lady who originally got me involved in the show. She was the executive producer. So it was like this big thing. I was not a part of the show at that point. I had done one report for her. I ended up doing a report on Mule Day because I said to this woman, Andrea, she liked my book. So I said, hey, do you guys need a correspondent for the show like that would do stuff that's kind of odd, you know, like Mule Day or the catfish races in Paris, Tennessee, or like the Bell Witch Cave? And she was like, I don't know what any of that is, because she had just come in to run that show from Kansas City.
Sure.
So I saw an opening because I was like, this is a person from Kansas City. So she's not going to know this like Nashville stuff. So she was nice enough to bring me on for Mule Day, which you guys can find. I can share it somehow. When I post the show on my Instagram, I'll put links to it or whatever. But
yeah.
I've already promoted it on my show. But it's me going to Mule Day and interviewing people with a you know, just like a fucking Zoom recorder.
What is Mule Day?
It's a festival that's been going on since the 1840s in rural, like an hour outside of Nashville. Columbia. And it's just like a mule parade. Columbia. And like, people camp out all week and they have like cover bands and stuff.
Got it.
You know, it's just kind of a jamboree that I always read about when I lived here in the early 2000s. And I wondered what it was about. So anyway, the new guy, the guy who's in charge of the show now, just said, hey, I love that Mule Day thing. Would you like to do a regular thing? So hey. I said, hell yeah. And I think the election helped just in the sense that 13,000 votes meant I had an audience, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was just sort of a, I don't think they maybe looked at it that cynically, but I mean, I think you could say my whole report tomorrow is about fascism and it's going to be on the fucking radio.
Wow.
And it's very, very, because that's what I ran on. But the thing is, when I ran on it, people loved that message. I mean, they were dying for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is like, if I just went to them, I think if I hadn't run with this, like, oh, I just want to talk about fascism for 25 minutes.
Yeah, they're like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, they might say right. Like, well, you know, but I had people thanking me for saying the things you talk about on the show all the time, just that, like, that billionaires have corrupted things to the point where if you are dealing with the definition of fascism, like, the economic version of fascism is just private interest taking over the ostensibly public government. And, you know, we couldn't have that worse.
Right.
And that's why the federal government is like such a joke. I mean, it's just like been everyone there has been paid to do nothing. I mean, just to jam stuff up. So there's just no way to even legislate. So then I realized, shit, I'm doing this report about why I ran for office. That's what the one that's coming out tomorrow is. And why I ran for office is because I looked at the roads in my neighborhood and I looked at the unhoused people in my neighborhood. And then I realized that they were giving, you know, like over $1 billion in public money to the NFL to build a new stadium. And I was just like, this doesn't compute. You know what I mean? That was how it really started for me. So I went and asked this guy. I just parked my car. I was like, I'm going to talk to this guy. So I ran down there with this microphone. They gave me this all-in-one microphone that has a SD card in the bottom of it. It's like a standalone. It levels itself. It's called a Yellow Tech. I don't know. So anyway, it's just a one for me. It's like, you know, old man journalist. I mean, it's like press one button and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
And it's all in there. I mean, except for get someone to take the SD card out with a pair of tweezers and whatever and put it in the petri dish or whatever happens to those SD cards after you take it out of these petri things. I have no idea. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you have to make it. Yeah. And then you put it in. Yeah, you drop it in the federal mailbox.
What kind of SD card is it? Tool top?
Who knows? Yeah, it could be. I think it's a large. I think it's a large.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a standard super duper. Oh, it stands for super duper, right?
Yeah.
Standard super duper card.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I send that straight to, I take it to either Photomat or.
And I ask the kind guy there to help me, please.
Here, I'd like to develop this SD card. Oh, geez.
He's back. Yeah, the guy who has the audio files on the SD card. So, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have an email, he says.
So if you guys listen, I will send you guys the thing please. For tomorrow when it's out. And they
tomorrow podcast. Being Friday or tomorrow?
Tomorrow being you guys are, this show's going to be on like next Tuesday. Tomorrow is Thursday in real life. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So it's coming out on Thanksgiving. And then there's a
Thanksgiving.
And the show is called This is Nashville. And the host is named Khalil Ekolona.
Great. Well, we'll link off to this on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, Chris, now there's some really, I think, consequential news in the world of music that we also really, we must get your take
on. We have to get your take on this.
Okay,
one. This is...
You remember Hall and Oates.
Oh,
I think we all do. Oates? Yeah.
I've heard of Hall, but Hall and Oates?
Yeah.
I've seen Oates' mustache in a bag at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is that real?
No, it's not real.
That would be fucking amazing.
Wait, really?
But then you're like, it's dismantled, so it just looks like a bag of hair.
That's
the way it is.
You're like, no, it's a mustache. This is a mustache.
He didn't want it reconstructed.
Our writer JM calls Hall & Oates your parents' dentist's favorite musical duo.
That's not right. I'm your parents' favorite dentist or that fucking case.
Whoever but I wrote no that was like a 17-year-old who's never done anything except for play video games.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's
Hall and Oates are no Minecraft.
No, but Hall and Oates have some hits.
What happened to jazz, man? Hall and Oates. You know what I mean?
Jazz and yacht rock, baby. Yeah. But right now, Hall is suing Oates.
Daryl.
Although nobody knows exactly why. Court documents are sealed. But it's just been revealed that Hall filed a motion for a temporary restraining order against Oates. And Daryl Hall apparently went on Bill Maher's Club Random show last year.
Oh, that thing is so
Christ.
Again, it looks like, just an anthropomorphic can of Axe body spray.
It's the worst thing
renovated
I ever saw.
A suburban rumpus room. It's so awful. But anyways, it's like Bill Maher and his other... really friends, like famous friends who are like, everyone else is a fucking idiot except us, right?
Right. Right, Daryl Hall? Yeah. Narcissist? Exactly, man.
Every single person who's like that has gotten into like cancel culture. Like, you know, I'm sure Daryl Hall's probably like, I'm so tired of being told what to do.
Yes, of course.
I mean, from my perspective, right, Daryl Hall... I was like, just narrowly, I was like, well, he was the one whose voice was killing it all the time. So I'm like, that's the guy. And what we're just saying, like, John Oates was just kind of like, he was just playing guitar, right? And backing him up. Like, is there, like, was the perception like John Oates wasn't doing much, like Daryl Hall was? Because, like, the way Daryl Hall talks, he talks like he's like, I was doing all the heavy lifting, okay? We were just making some shit.
You've heard him say that? He's acting like that for real?
Daryl Hall said, you think John Oates is my partner? He's my business partner. He's not my creative partner.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So like, he's treating John Oates like he's Art Garfunkel.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
He's trying to do a Paul Simon.
Like how it has gone down in pop culture history. Like, there's that comedy band Garfunkel and Oates that's like, these are the also-rans from famous duos. But
oh, right. I didn't even get that. Oh, my God. You just explained that. I've never understood that. I was like, Garfunkel and Oates is somehow, just because I was involved in the Los Angeles comedy scene, they were in my, you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
Kate Micucci and Ricky Lindholm, right?
Yeah. I never got it. I never understood. Now I get it. I get it.
And holy, that's what we're
shit,
here for.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Holy shit, man.
It's one of those graduate school jokes.
Yeah. To your point, like, Daryl Hall always seemed like both the one who gets the most credit and also the one who's probably has the most public facing sociopathic tendencies. And so it's always interesting to take a step back and be like, is he really the one who deserves the credit?
Did they say why Oates is
No, everyone's like, it's completely flabbergasted.
Hall,
like,
Sue Oates.
Yeah. It's just like, he's getting a restraining order, and they're like, everyone's just describing as like mysterious. So I don't know.
Because it's under seal.
Okay. Well, I don't. Daryl Hall, you know, I think at one time was probably a nice person, but I mean, he seems like, ever since he started having that show live at Daryl's house, I think was off the air now for a while, but it was on for like 6 years from like 2010.
I'm not familiar with this.
Really? It was like, come fucking worship me at my house and we'll perform a little bit. But also like CeeLo, like all kinds of artists would go and perform, and like they would maybe do one of their songs, a duet, maybe do a Hall & Oates cover, and then just like talk about, like, just talking like with Daryl and his, like, you know, session guys that he's with.
Yeah. And like some sort of like studio made of repossessed Barnwood, or, you know, repossessed Barnwood is a different thing. That's when you get Barnwood to pay for it, take it back. But, you know, it was a nasty show in the sense that it was like, I saw the side of Daryl Hall where it's like, he thinks people want to watch him eat dinner. You know, they ate dinner on the show and drank wine on the show. And it's the same way I felt about watching that show with any show where rich people eat food and that's the show, is like, I can't even. Makes me so angry. I can't even. Who's the guy who directed like Spider-Man and also like Swingers?
John Favreau.
John Favreau. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. Like, he had a show where it was like dinner with John Favreau, and I had nothing against John Favreau, and I immediately hated. Like, I was like, that motherfucker.
Right.
That
right,
is
right.
So many of the pitches that you get in the podcasting industry.
Oh my god.
By the way.
Yeah.
What, like, dinner with?
No, just like, I'm a rich person, and people will necessarily be interested in seeing me hang out with my friends.
Because, like, you know, my other friends are also rich and famous, too. So, like, in that way, they could hang out.
Yeah, just Daryl Hall on that show, you realized he had become so surrounded with douchebags that he obviously thought he was, like, the ruler of the earth. He was so surrounded by yes people. And he's in his bubble. He probably never has to leave his compound. And then just famous people come visit him.
It was like a promo show.
You know, you'd be on Daryl Hall's show. And John Oates was nowhere to be seen on that show. So I don't know where John Oates was.
No.
But he was not getting any of that money, I don't think, from live at Daryl's house. He pitched live at Oates' house, and everybody was like, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. They're like, what?
Live at
it's
Oates.
Called Bowl of Oates with John Oates. What?
Come have an Oates meal.
Live at Oates' back house.
Right. In Oates' grain shed. Oh, boy. But like the Daryl, there's one live at Daryl's house episode that I will never, like, back when there was like DVR, TiVo type shit, I always kept it on there because there's an episode where CeeLo is performing at his house. And CeeLo is a fucking, obviously, like he's like a great, like he can sing, right? And they're singing I Can't Go For That. And like CeeLo is just like doing his own version, put a little spice on it. And then you can tell
Daryl Hall is kind of like, he's like, this fucking guy thinks he's going to fucking outdo me. This shit's called Live at Daryl's House. And then Daryl Hall comes in for like the second verse. And the way he comes in, it's like, you can tell he's like, I got to summon every bit of energy I have to fucking just blow out CeeLo right now because he's outdoing me on my own show. And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, you can't even
he's
just
gesturing
jam
over
to
the monitors, pointing to his headphones, being like, take me up, take me up.
Yeah.
I can't go.
He goes, I can't go for being twice as nice. And like, he just tried. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. You hate to see it, but who knows? I'm sure it's probably all boiling down to some disagreement over like rights and
royalties,
who's going to get more money or maybe John Oates like performed a song. He's like, what'd I fucking say, John?
Or John Oates implied that he, well, I guess you couldn't sue someone for just implying that they wrote more than they did or something.
Right. But
John Oates is probably the victim here. I'm guessing. I mean, the guy's been second banana already. And for this guy to sue him on top of that just seems cruel and unusual, especially when he has all that Daryl's house money. And he's been eating lobster on TV while Oates is at home eating TV dinners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with his half the money.
Nothing even more humble not than even. The last name Oates.
Hall and Oates. Yeah. So
come
so
to hall my Oates. Hall versus eat Oates, loser.
Yeah.
Eat Oates, horse
right.
ass motherfucker.
You
want to
hang out?
Leave him alone.
You want to have a drink in this hall or you want to hang out in some Oates?
Yeah, that's right.
So Hall and Oates have this song called I'm Just a Kid, Don't Make Me Feel Like a Man on one of their earlier records, which is I think it's on Abandoned Luncheonette. Their early stuff's great. And I think they were probably nice back then, both of them maybe. Because they were like, came up from, you know, nothing really. I don't think any of them, like their dad was anybody or anything. I think they just came up from Philadelphia and they loved R&B and they you know, they made some good R&B songs. And then they were also kind of a little folkier in the beginning, and that's Abandoned Luncheonette, which is my shit. It's kind of like easy listening kind of stuff. When the Morning Comes is a song I recommend highly off of Abandoned Luncheonette. Anyway, the hell am I talking about? I'm all a brain wipe.
John Oates.
Remember when I had a brain wipe? We had to stop the show and I'd eat a hard boiled egg.
You had a whole boiled egg. But what, were you John Oates? Is that where you're? You pick it
I was
going
to say, so I had a radio show in Nashville, and I was always trying to get the guys from Bread to call in, the band Bread.
Yeah.
The show was called Best of Bread.
Best of Bread, right?
Yes. It was on from 2005 to 2009, and we realized we had nobody listening to us, like nobody from management, so we just went crazy. And anyway, I was just trying to get Bread to call in because I knew a couple of the guys from the band Bread lived in Nashville. No one ever did, but one time I played I'm Just a Kid, Don't Make Me Feel Like a Man, and I was like, that song was creepy. And we got a phone call from one of the guys who played in the Hall & Oates band. And he said, we were all like 30 and we had to play that song and it gave us the creeps. And we also think that song's creepy. And that was like the greatest. That was like, for me, that felt like, I don't know.
They
like,
agreed. They agreed.
That felt like finding a whole teapot under the planes. A tool top teapot. Tool top teapot.
Tool pot teapot.
Apothecary from the Dakota Territories.
Chris Crofton. Amazing having you as always.
Yeah,
so fun. I miss you guys. But I'm so glad to be back on. And you guys are looking good. You guys are looking good.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just
you look preserved in amber.
Thank you. Like a mosquito from Jurassic Park.
You joined and said that you were surprised that we were still alive.
Yeah, that's
true. Which is a great way to enter any conversation. Old son of a bitch. I can't believe you're still
alive. I've seen you only in these little cube screens.
Yeah, for the last couple of years.
So I don't know
sure.
where you are. I don't know. I'm glad
you're not watching Welcome to Jack's House on YouTube.
Yeah.
You're not catching me there? Oh, you got to check it out, man.
Is it like you eating lobster with like
it's me eating lobster.
Tom Arnold or whatever?
It's me eating lobster with various canceled celebrity friends of mine.
Oh, wow. Now that's a good show.
Oh, that's just like a total hate watch. It's Tucker Carlson, Roseanne, and like Doja Cat eating lobster or something. You're like, what the fuck is
that? And Jack being like, I'm not with these guys.
But this is my house and I didn't invite them.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.